Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 10 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, I want to touch on the 10-year yield out of the US back above 3% and also JSE six-month lows. Bruce Williamson from Integral Asset Management talking in the case for Thungela Resources. It's up 10x since listing less than a year ago, but coal prices are storming higher. And then only Realty Group MD Grant Smee, how to make a success of buy-to-let. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. SARS disallowed over 60% of home office claims last year. They say the rules regarding deductions were clear, but taxpayers should know their options if SARS gets it wrong. Maybe SARS should have given some wiggle room. It was, after all, a pandemic. Business Day, $100 billion of mining investment is snarled up in red tape. According to the Minerals Council, $30 billion of capital projects await regulatory approval amid 4,500 outstanding mining and prospecting licenses. This is admin stuff. This really shouldn't be a hard part of the process at all. Morning markets, yeah, we got red out there. US, S&P down 3 1/3, NASDAQ off 4%. Asia, we got Sydney down 1.6, Tokyo down just under 1%. Commodities mostly red. Gold, $1,859. Brent, $104.12 a barrel. Platinum, $9.39. Palladium, the only green, $2,107. Rand, $16.17 against the dollar. Bitcoin dipped below 30,000, now trading just under 31,000. Top 40, looking for a red open, about 280 points down. That's a little under 0.5%. That as Tencent trades down 3.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate the early morning time. There's something you and I have chatted about many times over the years, is the US 10-year bonds trading just above 3%. It's been a fairly significant move and often a bellwether as it runs higher of, frankly, a potential recession.
Correct. Look, I'm still not sure about a recession coming on, because there's one big difference to this period of rising interest rates in comparison to previous ones, is that there's no consumer, financial system, or corporate debt bubble that's going to be burst by them. Normally what would happen is there'll be a debt bubble somewhere, interest rates would go up, that debt bubble would burst, that would put severe strain in the economy, and the economy would go into recession. That's a very large mitigating factor this time around. We haven't got that. So I don't think there's a recession, but that is a little bit of a sort of beside the point commentary, because we are clearly in an equity bear market because of rising interest rates.
Yeah, and rising interest rates, I mean, in the US for the first time, literally in decades. I mentioned there JSE at six-month lows, US markets at way more than six-month lows. Equity markets are spooked. And I was chatting with a friend of ours, David Shapiro, last week, and he was saying we're probably near the bottom, but this could still take some time.
Yeah, look, I think inflation will come back to below 4% within the next 6 months or a year. Mm-hmm. And as long as that happens, I think we're all right. Then we probably, I don't know, 50, 60% through the correction. You know, I would have said before all of this started in a rising interest rate environment that we would get 20, 25% correction in the main markets and maybe 30, 35% correction in the NASDAQ, because that was the area that got all the heat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the good days. And we're getting there quickly, eh?
And I take your point. I mean, and the NASDAQ was, you know, those high-flying stocks, which had been flying ahead of the pandemic, and of course took off during the pandemic as well, and got to what were crazy valuations, truthfully.
Yeah, and they down 30-odd% now after last night's move.
Yeah, yeah. A quick last question. Capital Counties, which once was a high flyer on our market, Brexit really took it out at the knees. It's never really recovered, but it owns some really good properties in London. Yes. And the old story, they're not making more land. And now a possible merger with Shaftesbury, we're not digging around. They've also got some really good property in London.
Yeah, I think it's a very positive thing. Although the market didn't react much to it, I think the share was down slightly. Look, you are buying absolute world-class retail and office, but let's just talk retail assets now, at very reasonable prices. You can't regret making a purchase at these levels in 10 years, Tom, in this quality of asset.
Yeah, as you point out, I mean, this is some of the best retail space in London, one of the largest cities in the world. We'll leave it there. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate your time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Bruce Williamson. He is from Integral Asset Managers. Bruce, appreciate the early morning time. Chatting Thungela Resources, listed last year in June, up some 10x since listing. Tuesday last week was LDT for an 18 Rand dividend. Some people could have paid only little over that if they'd bought at the lows of last year. It really has been on a massive tear. And truthfully, it's not ending anytime soon. Some data you sent me late last night, coal prices are still moving higher.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon. Good morning to you and everyone else on the line. I think a complete misjudgment by many, if we go back to the Paris 2015 agreement, COP26, where literally the world, in its quest to rush off to renewables, put a gun to the head of the fossil fuel producers, oil, gas, and coal. And there's just the shortage of coal, and obviously the Russian invasion has just worsened things dramatically. And there is just not enough energy in many, many of the countries, and we've seen it in particular in Europe. And so the demand for coal is extremely strong. You just cannot get coal. And South Africa, we can't get more coal out. We're way short. We're getting 59, maybe 60 million tons out when we have capacity for more like 77 million tons. So there's a dramatic shortage of coal.
Yeah, that's Richards Bay Coal Terminal, which is, and I remember at the time when they expanded it, weirdly, the coal terminal had more capacity than Transnet, and I always scratched my head around that. I suppose the plan was that Transnet would, in time, come to the party. Of course, if anything, Transnet's gone the other way and taking out significant possible revenues. I mean, you're suggesting perhaps losing us as much as $4.5 billion. That's dollars. That's 70 billion ZAR.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I mean, in the old days, the privately owned Richards Bay Coal Terminal went to 91 million tons capacity because they had been in discussion, from what I recall, with Transnet. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have gone there on their own had they not thought Transnet could match them. And in the event, Transnet never did anything, and they stuck at 77. In fact, and sold and transported more like 73 million tons out. Well, last year was just an absolute disaster. I mean, there's, apart from, I don't think, very good management at Transnet, there's theft and there's corruption and big problems on the line. So the theft of rails occasionally and more copper cabling just causes big disruptions. So instead of doing 73 or 77 million, we're doing 59, 60. So yeah, you're right. We're losing at today's prices of $250. We're losing something like $4.5 billion. Although our guys, you probably have to discount that by about 15%.
Yeah.
because of quality. Our quality is slightly below that benchmark of 6,000 kilocals.
Mm-hmm. And the data, I mean, last year, Thungela in the year to end December, their price was around $124 a ton. They get a slight discount to that. They averaged 103, and they made an earnings of 63 rand and a dividend of 18. But that price, as you point out, the year-to-date average is now sitting literally at double, at 250. I mean, Thungela, even with the challenges, they've got a Transnet, which is sort of restricting their ability. They're going to have another banner year if things continue.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I started out in February putting say, $190 as the benchmark and about $175 as the discounted price received. And I was getting earnings of just below 100 rand. And then the Great Thungela has said they have a cash buffer of $1 billion, mm-hmm. which they had when they reported the December results. Then they could probably pay whatever they like. They could pay 100% if they wanted. So at 190 benchmark, 170 received price, I was looking at about 97 rand earnings. And, okay, assume they don't pay everything out, but they could easily pay an 80 rand dividend. And with the 18 coming, which has now gone extra, you could still be looking at 80 and certainly upwards, because my forecast of 190 is now well below the spot average has been for the year.
And this comes to the point. I mean, a lot of folks, I mean, I got Thungela wrong in that I bought it low, but I in hindsight, sold it very low as well. Yeah, I know everyone, you know, you mentioned Paris 15, COP 26, etc. But there is that demand there, and that demand is not going to disappear in a hurry. I was digging around new coal power stations in Asia. There's a number of fairly large power plants being built that are going to need coal. This is not necessarily a flash in the pan that disappears and then sort of weeks or months ahead. This could roll for a couple of years, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole world needs to sit down and take a deep breath. The road to a renewable transition has got to be rethought and planned very, very carefully, country mm-hmm. by country. And the problem is that many countries are interdependent on each other. And so what your plans are to go off coal, Europe might be able to go off, wean themselves off coal quicker than we can, so we would sit with surplus. So we've got to be, we've got to match this move to renewables. It just has been badly thought out and ill planned.
We'll leave it here.
So you're right, it's going to last a long time.
It's going to last a long time. Bruce Williamson, Integral Asset Managers, and that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Thungela, it's up 10x since listing last year. And the question is, are you holding, buying, or selling? As I said, I thought I was clever. I got out at about, I think, just below 100, and it was hardly even warming up. Have your vote, have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Grant Smee, Ernie Realty Group ND. Grant, appreciate the early morning time. Talking buy to let, some data that you were referencing in a note you sent out last week, tenant demand for rentals locally in South Africa is absolutely booming.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me. We're going to certainly start seeing, or at the start of a boom of rental property, following the boom of people buying property over the last 2 years from post-COVID. So we're definitely seeing an increase in demand across the board for tenants and looking to move across the country.
And that then brings to the buy-to-let, which has at points been, I mean, I'm thinking the early 2000s, immensely popular, faded off a bit, was sort of, I know some folks who were getting back into it, and then, of course, the pandemic took them out of the knees. But looking at it as a concept, one of the key things in the note you make is think like an investor and run it like a business. In other words, be completely professional around a buy-to-let, even if it is just one unit you're starting off with.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the early 2000s where the buy-to-let boom initially took off, a lot of people got into it just as all stuck, make money while the sun shines.
Mm.
And I think one of the things people need to consider carefully and where people got burnt around 2008 and 2012 was they weren't running it as a business. They weren't putting away reserves. They weren't looking after their tenants properly. And with the advent of a lot of new legislation coming in to control the relationship between landlord and tenant, as well as obviously the risks around the financial markets and the global economic situation, people need to really run it as a business to make sure they are firstly taking care of their tenants and meeting their responsibilities, but also you know, putting away reserves, looking after their property, maintaining it properly. And that just sort of leads into a really good buy-to-let business for an investor.
Yeah, and I like your point there. It's about, you know, you mentioned building up a reserve for when you have challenges. It might be a geezer, it might be a tenant. It's also things like doing the regular maintenance, and it's around getting that right tenant in. I mean, that's a huge part of the process, and that's something which is it's going to take some effort perhaps, but will be well rewarding in time.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of landlords will put a tenant into property just because their property is empty.
Yeah.
And will sort of take shortcuts in terms of placing a tenant. And the problem comes is that tenant then sits there and stops paying and needs to be evicted. And although we have quite a formal eviction process in the country and it's a very clear process you need to follow, it sometimes can be a lengthy one and a very costly one. So you really want to sort of prevent any issues up front by vetting the tenant properly, making sure putting the right person in place, and also having the right checks and balances and insurances in place should something happen.
Yeah, and more of the business part is it's around working out your returns. And you make a great point, which is be very realistic. It's easy to sit in front of an Excel spreadsheet and truthfully punch in any number we want. It's about being hyper-realistic. It's about having some worst-case scenarios, such as, you know, rising interest rates or perhaps a non-paying tenant.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, non-paying tenants or property sitting empty is the most costly thing for a landlord or a property investor. And then the second part is obviously we're in a rising interest rate cycle at the moment. It's something we've been talking about from our group perspective for the last 2 years.
Mm.
Is everyone was buying because the interest rates were low, but they are going to go up, you know, and you need to make provision for that. So either putting a bigger deposit down on a property or, again, putting money away for when those interest rates do go up.
And the last point you made, and I think it's absolutely a stellar point, which is practice patience. I have a friend who spent about 15 years building up a buy-to-let portfolio, and it was 15 years of really, really hard work, but he's in the sweet spot now. This is not going to be an overnight process. It's going to take some time. It can be hugely rewarding, but it's going to take time and effort.
Absolutely. From a buy-to-let perspective, it certainly is an investment and a long-term investment. You're not going to make money, and you've got a lot of these property investment courses that sell this financial freedom idea.
Mm.
Financial freedom is not going to come through buy-to-let, not in the first 2 years at least. It's going to create a very nice nest egg and a very nice cash flow for you in the future. But you've got to ride out the property cycles. You've got to ride out, you know, like I say, you've got to be patient for that return to come as you pay down that property and pay off those bonds.
We'll leave it there. That's Grant Smee. He's Only Realty Group MD. Grant, appreciate the early morning time this morning. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, I was chatting with Kingsley Williams from Satrix around their new healthcare ETF. We were really talking healthcare generally and a fairly strong investment case for healthcare in the global space, locally as well, but obviously global's a much bigger market. I'm asking if you were going to be applying for the new ETF. Two-thirds of you said not for you. A quarter, we're going to wait for the listing, and I wonder about that, whereas a tenth were absolutely are going to be buying during IPO process. Have your vote, have your say on LinkedIn. LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m, podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We've got Octodect and Alex Dace on markets.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.